Questions? Shall I take them?
Do any questions?
Why do we pray? Why we pray? I guess that means how do we pray? Why do we pray? I don't know what you pray for. I pray for pure devotional service to Krishna. Maybe you're praying for... Well, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught us to pray nadhanam, najanam, nasundarim, not to pray for wealth, women, followers, all these things. But most people pray for that. So, I don't know what you pray. You tell me. Why we should pray. I guess that means why should we pray. Well, prayer means to accept that there are higher powers than us who can influence our lives in a beneficial way. So at the very least, even if we are praying to give me money, even in the Vedas, there are various procedures for destroying enemies by invoking various powers. So at least you could say at the lowest level it recognizes that there are powers higher than us. The highest level is to understand the nature of Godhead in full and surrender to Him. But at the very lowest level, prayer means to at least to accept that there are higher powers than ourselves. What is the difference between love and lust? Very good question. It can't be answered satisfactorily, very briefly, but in short, yeah, actually this is the essential question. Anyway, in short, it's stated that Krishnendriya Priti Vancha Tare Bale Kam Atendriya Priti Icha Dhare Premana. Sorry. Krishnendriya Priti Vancha Dhare Premana. Krishnendriya Priti Vancha Tare Atendriya Priti Vancha Tare Bale Kam Krishnendriya Priti Icha Dhare Premana. To act for our own sensual pleasure is called kam. To act out of love for Krishna is called prem. So that's the difference, in short. What is pleasure? And what is satisfaction? Well, that's not intrinsically a very spiritual question. It sounds more like a psychological question. Satisfaction, we can say that is the neutral position. Shanti, no disturbance. And pleasure is the positive position, where we're not just not disturbed, but we're actually experiencing pleasure above and beyond that of being comfortable. So that's the difference between impersonal realization, just getting free from all troubles and getting shanti, and bhakti, which is full of prema sukh, or the bliss. But many of these questions to understand fully, it requires more discussion. As in any subject, it's not just like there's this idea, shakti part. You touch someone and phew, they understand everything. But in real life, if you want to understand about medicine, you have to study for many years. If you want to understand trigonometry, we have to start with understanding arithmetic, and then algebra, geometry. It's step by step. So in the same way, to understand spiritual knowledge, we can't... See, there's this other misconception that you see, well, spiritual knowledge, it's just something you believe in. But it's there are so many, in the actual understanding, there are so many subtle points to understand. It requires some training, time to understand all these things. The art of living also speaks about Krishna bhakti. Yeah, so that's another form of cheating, because they don't actually promote Krishna, or nor do they have a clear understanding of what is bhakti, but it's popular, so they say it. Is it an adjustment with the modern world? Yeah, it's without, you see, it's just like the George Bush in invading Iraq spoke of humanitarianism. And, you know, we're benefiting the Iraqi people. So it's called word jugglery. You say one thing, but you have something else in mind. So many people may speak of Krishna bhakti, but Krishna bhakti begins with sarvadhaman parityaja mamekam sharanam raja, surrendering to Krishna, accepting him as the supreme personality of Godhead and the only goal in life. But they don't do that. They talk of Krishna bhakti. They may sing a few bhajans. But you'll find that this art of living guy, you'll see his pictures are everywhere, not Krishna's pictures. So it's more based on him. That's not Krishna bhakti. Our Srila Prabhupada, when our guru, you may not have heard of him. Nowadays in ISKCON, every educated person has heard the word ISKCON. They don't know Srila Prabhupada. All over the world, people know the Hare Krishna movement because he promoted Srila Prabhupada, who is the founder of this ISKCON, which is a manifestation of the ancient Krishna bhakti parampara. He made Krishna known all over the world, not himself. Whereas so many people... modern Hinduism is this Nayaka puja, we can say. People, they worship some Bappa or Baba or Amma or someone like this. And these people are just promoting themselves. You'll see their photo is everywhere. They don't know about Krishna. So they may talk of Krishna bhakti, but factually they're doing something else. So don't be cheated. Guruvo bahavo santi shisha vittapaharaka durlabha sadgurur devi shisha shantapaharaka. There are many, this is from the Puranas, so it goes back a long time, but it's especially prominent at the present time. There are many so-called gurus who are very expert at looting. Loot is a Sanskrit word, as you know, is in the English language. At looting their disciples, at taking away their money. How much do those Art of Living seminars cost? I think minimum 2,000 rupees, isn't it? Anyway, I don't have anything in particular against Art of Living. All these people are rascals, not just him. So, you know, we don't have anything in particular against them. But it's very rare to find an actual guru who can take away your suffering. They'll say, smile. My aim is to put a smile on everyone's face. But that's what this particular rascal we were just referring to, I read, that was his. He said, my goal of life is to put a smile on everyone's face. But a real sadhu's duty is to teach everyone janma mrityu jaravyadhi dukkha doshanu darshanam. This material world is miserable. So anyone who doesn't teach that and claims to be a sadhu is just a cheater, that's all. Some people, they're openly cheaters. They're in the advertising industry. And some are politicians and some are gurus. And they pretend to be friends of the people. And people are stupid. You can see the very fact that anyone drinks Coca-Cola, what to speak of billions of people drinking it, proves that people are stupid. The very fact that there's an advertising industry is based on the premise that people are stupid. That we can get people to buy things which they don't want and they don't need by convincing them that they should want it and they should need it. So people are stupid. So we're simply requesting you to be a little bit intelligent, that's all. It's not very common, but it is possible to become intelligent by associating with intelligent people. And most of the people in the world are not intelligent, including your so-called PhDs. They're also slaves of the economic system. Wasted intelligence. They're not prabuddha. Their actual intelligence is not awakened. Anyway, what other questions are there?
Hare Krishna.
Yeah. Yeah.
Here I'm asked to read this question. My brother handwriting me. The question is, what made the advanced ancient people of India to close the great knowledge they were having?
Why is the great knowledge that was there, why is it not there anymore? Why did they lose it? Well, it's been a gradual process. There are various influences. As I was saying, there are seasons of time. Satya Yuga, Treta Yuga, Dwarpa Yuga, Kali Yuga. So even before the loss of this knowledge, it was predictable. Just like we can predict that in 6 months from now, it will be cold in the mornings, especially at night. It's predictable because time goes in cycles. So by the influence of Kali Yuga, there are certain yugas or eras in which knowledge is prominent, actual knowledge is prominent. There are other yugas in which ignorance is considered knowledge, and actual knowledge is covered over. So it's predictable. And there are various factors. I mentioned one major one of them is that the Brahmanas, instead of thinking how to benefit others and to become spiritually advanced, they became exploitive. When the whole modern civilization is based on exploitation. Vedic culture is based on mutual cooperation for spiritual advancement. But once the spirit of exploitation entered, then everything went down. Then the Brahmanas were exploiting, and then others thought, why should we follow them? What are they doing? They're not doing anything for us. And they protested. And then gradually the whole thing broke down. And without that Vedic culture, then the Kshatriyas also became degraded, and then people were able to invade from outside, and so many things. It's quite a long history, complex history. There are many rules. In summary, what's being said is that there are many rules to protect society from degrading. And if people don't follow, then everything breaks up. You should design a rule so that people don't break them. Can you suggest any such rule that can be designed so that people don't break it? No, but you're making what you consider to be an intelligent proposition. So you should back it with some intelligent reasoning. If you propose that there should be rules which cannot be broken, can you suggest any such rule? No. There's no rule which cannot be broken. It depends on people can follow it or not follow it. Now, the general way of... You can sit down. The general way of making people follow rules that they don't want to is by violence or threat of. In other words, if you don't follow this rule, you'll be punished. But you can't force. If people are in a situation where they can exploit others, they often do. They should know not to, because they'll get punished by the laws of nature. But what you're proposing is something unrealistic. There's no rule which cannot be broken. If it was such, then there wouldn't be any need of such rule because people would automatically follow it. Just like there's no law in human society that everyone should eat. If you don't eat, then you gradually lose strength. Still, people can choose to eat or not to eat.
I have a few more questions in your mind. When higher education...
Higher education. It's a question about higher education. What is called higher education in the modern age means higher indoctrination in complex dogma of ignorance. It's not actually... Real higher education begins with knowing the difference between the soul and the body, but that's deliberately cut out of modern what they call education. So it's education in ignorance. The more educated you are, the less... This is an observable fact, that generally speaking, the more one is educated in the modern system of knowledge, the less likely he is to accept the spiritual reality of the difference between the soul and the body. That means you actually progress further in ignorance. The more education you get, the further you get away from real knowledge. Yeah, so let's understand what higher education is first.
When higher education is not teaching about greed, why most highly educated persons are greedy for material comforts, can it be solved by teaching Naam Mahima through higher education?
That is, Naam Mahima means Krishna Naam Mahima, that is higher education. Yeah, next question.
Next question.
But the Naam Mahima, that's also a very high topic. First we should discuss what is the difference between the soul and the body. Otherwise, how will people understand all these subtle points?
Next question is, how can...
That's another, you see, you don't just go out and tell people chant Hare Krishna. In this lecture, I didn't speak once about chanting Hare Krishna. Because we have to begin at the beginning. To understand the need to chant Hare Krishna, that's actually on a very high level. And people who are simple and pious, they will accept that. Although they may not know why. They may chant Hare Krishna thinking that I'll get, you know, solve my backache or something like this. So we should also know what the system of education is. Not that we start trying to teach people who... They never even thought in the course of their life of the importance of knowing the difference between the soul and the body, and we're not going to start teaching them about the, you know, the intricacies of Krishna's relationship with the gopis and all very highly intricate topics, or even in sadhana, the different points of sadhana. First, understand the need step by step. Don't go too fast.
Next question is, how can we bring back our true, real, traditional culture to India?
Why do you only want to bring it to India? Why are you pro-India? Why not the whole world? This is knowledge. It's not meant only for India. How are we going to bring it back? Well, the first thing is we should talk about it. And first of all, people should understand the need for it. If we think that we'll go on with modern life and just chant Hare Krishna sometimes and that's all there is to it, and we'll be basically materialistic, and our main interest in life is to get a so-called good job and make our children so-called well-educated, and we'll also chant Hare Krishna. That is not going to bring around the change needed to bring the culture that's required in which we can actually chant Na dhanam, na janam, na sundarim. So the need for it should be understood first of all. As long as we cultivate acceptance of modern culture means that we accept materialistic goals. Yeah, ma'am?
My last question is, when we hear about the qualities of Shudra of ancient India, find that they are much better than today's Brahmanas. Is the definition of Brahmana changed, or how do we understand?
No. What is goes on in the name of Brahmana? That should be understood. If you find an actual Brahmana, very good. All right, so we'll finish that. Thank you again. Hare Krishna.
Before we go for our prasadam, we'd like to recite prasadam prayers.
Really? Well, these are all new people? Is it? They're all new people? Yeah. Just chant Hare Krishna better. Don't give all these difficult things. No, you already had kirtan. Let them take prasadam. Already it's lost. Step by step. Don't try to make everyone a paramahamsa on the spot. Instant paramahamsa. Take it step by step. These are mostly old people, is it? Because I was speaking for new people. Although the old people, they also don't know. Yeah. Because our own devotees, they also think we have to be a success. We have to educate our children so they can go to America.